The second lesson, also the sermon text from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not extinguish the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test everything. Hold on to the good. Keep away from every kind of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Do you have a hard time waiting for things? Waiting is hard, and the world that we are living in is making it harder and harder all the time to wait. Because now, if you want to know the answer to just about any question, no matter how trivial it is, you can have the answer in about 5 seconds. If you want to buy something, just about anything, no matter how obscure it is, you can probably have it on your front porch by tomorrow morning or maybe the next day. If you want to see a loved one face to face and speak to them face to face, they are as close as your nearest screen, which is probably in your pocket. Of course, you know, it used to be, if you wanted to learn about something, you actually had to get in your car and maybe drive to a library and search through stacks of books for a couple of hours to find your answer. And if you wanted to buy something, you actually had to get in a car, fight through traffic, search through a store, stand in line to get the thing that you wanted. And if you wanted to see a loved one, speak to them face to face, you may have had to actually get on an airplane and travel and make a trip to see them and to speak to them. But now, we don't really have to wait very long for anything anymore. And that means when we do actually have to wait, when we are required to display just the tiniest bit of patience for anything, it becomes really, really hard for us to do. You know, at stoplights, the horns start honking like a millisecond after the light turns green. This is a true story. A few weeks ago, I was first in line at a stoplight, and the car behind me actually honked at me while the light was still red. They could see that the light was about to turn green. It wasn't green yet. But just the thought of having to wait one nanosecond to get going was enough to set them off. They honked at me while the light was still red. You stand in line at the grocery store. People roll their eyes and huff and puff. If the checker isn't moving at the speed of light, they start getting impatient right away. And if somebody has to wait on a runway for a half an hour before their flight takes off, it's now like a human rights violation. It's like the worst thing that could ever happen to another human being. We never have to wait very long for anything, so when we do have to wait, it's really hard to handle. Well, here we are in the season of Advent, and this is a time for Christians to wait, to display some patience. On the season of Advent, we are waiting to celebrate Christmas, to celebrate the birth of our Savior. That is a very joyful, very happy day, and it is a hard day to wait for, to celebrate Jesus' birth. And of course, in the season of Advent, we also remember that we are waiting for Jesus to return on the last day. And this has been a very long wait. Almost 2,000 years and counting since the day of Jesus' ascension, when the angel on the mountain told his followers, "You will see him come back in the same way that he left." How can God expect his people, especially people who live in this age, to wait patiently for the joyful celebration of Jesus' birth? And how can God expect us to continue to wait for Jesus' return on the last day without losing some of our watchfulness and some of our zeal as we wait for Christ? Well, you know, a good idea when you have to wait is to give yourself something to do. Keep yourself occupied while you are waiting. And this was kind of an issue for a group of Christians in a city called Thessalonica long ago. See, these Christians were waiting for Jesus to return on the last day. And they knew that Jesus had said he was coming back and he was coming back soon. So these Christians in Thessalonica weren't really doing anything to keep themselves busy. They figured, well, why bother working? Why bother doing anything? Jesus is going to come back and then it's going to be all over. So what's the point? So they were basically sitting around twiddling their thumbs while they were waiting for Christ to come. And St. Paul wrote to these Christians and he said, no, don't do that. You have to keep busy while you are waiting. And St. Paul gave them ways to engage their brains and their bodies and their souls while they were waiting for Christ to come. And as St. Paul does this for the Thessalonians and also for us, he starts with the do's, if you want to think of it that way. He starts with the positive commands. These are the things to do to keep yourself busy while you are waiting for Christ. He writes, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay, so if we wanted to keep this extremely short, we could just use that last sentence and say, do God's will. Do his will for you in Christ Jesus. But it's the first three things there that tell us what God's will is for us. What should we be doing while we wait? And the first thing St. Paul says is rejoice always. God wants us to wait with joy for Jesus, to put our joy on display for the entire world to see while we are waiting for Christ. And we Christians are joyful people. We are joyful because we know that God loves us in his Son, Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus is coming to take our sins away and that we are headed for his side in heaven. And even when everything else in life may be rotten, we Christians always have that joy of Jesus in our hearts. So Christians, even when we have tears coming down our face, we still have the joy of Jesus' salvation, and we can show that joy to the people around us in all circumstances of life. And while we are showing joy to the world, God also tells us to send our prayers up to him. God invites us to pray to him in Christ because we are his forgiven children. He wants to hear us speak to him. He says we can pray to him anytime, anywhere, and cast all of our cares on him because he cares about us. So Paul says, pray continually, and as part of those prayers, he says, remember to load up on prayers of thanksgiving. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. See, no matter what else is happening in our lives, no matter how challenging life might be, we Christians always remember when we pray to thank God for all of the amazing blessings that he has given us. Most of all, the blessing of forgiveness in his Son, Jesus. So, this is what we Christians do while we are waiting for Christ. We show our joy. We fill our lives with prayer and especially thanksgiving for all of the good things that God has given us. Now, would you notice with me the absolutes that Paul uses when he gives us these commands? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. See, God wants this perfectly. He wants this continually from his people. So it's good to ask ourselves, are these the things, joy and prayer and thanksgiving, are these the things that characterize our entire existence while we are waiting for Christ? And if our answer to that question is anything other than complete, unqualified yes, then we need to keep listening to what St. Paul says here, because next come the don'ts, if you want to think of it that way. Next come the negative commands, the things to avoid while we wait for Christ. Do not extinguish the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. So the first command here is the key, and the second one flows right out from the first one. Do not extinguish the Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit is faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit starts the fire of faith in a person's heart, and he keeps that faith burning high and bright throughout that person's entire life. No human being can start up the fire of faith or keep it going in their own hearts. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. What a Christian can do, however, and Scripture is very clear about this, what a Christian can do is put out the fire of that faith in their hearts, which is why St. Paul warns us, do not treat prophecies with contempt. See, it is the prophecies, it is the Word of God that the Holy Spirit uses to start the fire of faith and then keep it burning bright in a person's heart. And when a Christian starts to show contempt, arrogance toward the prophecies, toward the Word of God, they are in danger of putting out, extinguishing their own faith. So, what might this look like, showing contempt for the prophecies, for the Word of God? Well, sometimes it can be easy for Christians to sort of slide into this attitude of, I know enough about the Word of God. I kind of heard all that before, you know. I'm a sinner, right? I get it. I'm a bad person. I understand. Yes, Jesus loves me. I've heard that a few times too. Okay, I know everything that I need to know to get into heaven. That's good enough. I don't really need to hear it anymore or learn anymore. See, that's pretty much turning up your nose toward the Word of God. It's treating God's Word with contempt. And Christian who thinks that way, sooner or later, probably sooner, the fire of their faith is going to flame out and fade away. Which is why St. Paul says, don't do that. Instead, test everything, hold on to the good, keep away from every kind of evil. But be eager to hear the Word of God, which is the oxygen for the fire of your faith. Be so eager to hear the Word of God that when you are learning God's Word, you are testing what you are hearing. You are making sure that it is in line with what God's Word says. And if it is, then it's true. And you cherish it and you hold on to it tight. And if it's not, you junk it. And you stay away from it because it's evil. So, here is the complete list of do's and don'ts to keep ourselves busy while we wait for Christ. Show your joy to the world. Pray all the time, filling up your prayers with thanksgiving. Learn the Word of God eagerly, testing what you are learning. Do not show contempt to the Word of God or get tangled up in any kind of evil. Now, if you can say that you have done all of those things perfectly in your life, you are hereby excused from listening to the last 3 minutes of this sermon. If you're human, on the other hand, and you're flesh and blood, then you're going to want to keep listening to these last 3 minutes because St. Paul does not just give us a checklist here. Do this, don't do that. If that's all we had, we'd be left pretty guilty and pretty desperate because we'd look at the list of do's and don'ts and we'd just see our failures and realize that we're in big trouble. So the Holy Spirit does not just give us a list of do's and don'ts, but He also points us to forgiveness for our past failures and the strength to do these things better and better in the future. May the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. See, God is the one who sanctifies us while we are waiting for Christ to come. To sanctify something means to make it holy. And God sanctifies us. He makes us holy in two different ways. First, He sanctifies our souls. He purifies our souls. God reaches into our hearts with the good news of forgiveness in Christ. And in that gospel of Christ, He washes our souls clean of all of our past sins, of every spot and every blemish. He purifies us, makes us holy in His eyes. And at the same time that He is sanctifying our souls, making our souls holy, God is also sanctifying our lives, helping us to live better and better as His people. Every time God comes back to us with the good news of Jesus' love, He is building us up stronger and stronger so that we live better and better for Him every day, doing more of the do's, avoiding more of the don'ts as we wait for our Savior Jesus to appear. He sanctifies our souls and our lives. And here is the most beautiful thing that St. Paul says here. He says, God is faithful. He will do it. God will accomplish this. He will do what he promises. He will cleanse our souls and cleanse our lives so that we live better and better in his service as we wait for our Savior. So, here, out of all the things to do while you wait for your Savior, here is the most important one of all. Trust God. Trust him to make you holy. He is faithful. He does what he says he will do. He will accomplish this. He will do it. He will sanctify our souls, and we will show it in our lives, so that when Christ comes, we will be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.